Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide. It is terrific to have you with us today. It's 3 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center. It is noon Pacific, and it is Friday, March 6, 2020. And you're listening live to Close Up Radio Worldwide. We welcome everybody all across the United States and Canada and our international audience. We're joining us here on this episode of Close Up Radio. We are continuing our exclusive series of in-depth and insightful conversations with psychologist and leadership development consultant Lindy Brewster. And Lindy Brewster holds up and is the CEO, and she has created a wonderful company that is really at the forefront in management consulting, and we're so excited to have her here on the show. We've been talking about the work that she does through her core consulting work, and in addition to that core consulting work, Lindy is recognized as an author and a researcher too. She's currently involved in a project, as we've mentioned, with James Madison University Summit Series that examines how great leaders triumph through conflicts, from war, political unrest, health crises like we're talking about right now, even with the coronavirus in a major concern of many right now, earthquakes, really anything that comes at people. Lindy herself was in such a situation working with civilian teams in Afghanistan around 2009, and it made her want to explore these concepts. Her research involves basic things like leading with empathy or preparing ambassadors for foreign assignment. Really fascinating work she does. For an assignment with language and cultural knowledge, which is very important, to deeper and more complex topics as well. She's been sharing some of the insights with the shows that we've been broadcasting here on Close Up Radio. Lindy has worked with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations as well, and she's loving the opportunity to work with more and more new people as things continue to just grow by leaps and bounds for Lindy and her team. We're very excited to welcome her back to Close Up Radio as we can talk more about the exciting work that she's involved in right now and also some other work that her firm is involved in. Lindy, welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's always a pleasure to have you here on the broadcast, and we're always finding these conversations thought-provoking, and I love your perspective and your wisdom on so many different topics. So we welcome you back to the program today.
Hi, Jim. Thanks very much, and it's great to be back talking with you again.
Oh, it is our pleasure, and we're going to dive right into talking about the fact that, you know, we have discussed your firm in past episodes, and we want to revisit the work that you do as the co-founder and the principal of the company. Tell us about the history of your company, both domestically as well as in England.
So the company started in England about 31 years ago now. And it started with two psychologists who had become interested in seeing how you could apply what clinical psychologists learn about observing people, supporting people to organizations and how you could help people, particularly leaders, develop in those organizations. And they set up a company that really focused specifically on doing leadership training. It was leadership development programs. And when I joined the company, which was about 5 or 6 years after it had been founded, that's mainly what we did. We did ongoing leadership development programs. Very quickly, I started working in the U.S., and I started working in the U.S. In in terms of leadership development programs. But we started to become more involved in teams because people would come through the leadership development programs and say, hey, could you come and work with our team and do this work with our team? And once we started doing that, that they would ask us to stay with them and help them think through problems and so on and so forth. So we got to a point where we were doing so much work in the US, and we won a large contract actually to do a leadership development program, which included some ongoing teamwork to establish the company here, that they, because it was a government contractor, wanted a US-based team for obvious reasons, and they're in government defense contracting, so they needed to know that there was security that covered what we did. Not that we ever talk about that kind of work directly, because that's not what we're there to do, but their customers demanded that. However, they agreed that one of us could remain to lead the team and ensure the culture of our organization, which they liked a lot, would stay and develop the team. And that's how I got to stay here, which is over 20 years ago now. And we formed a team. We were based out of Reston in Northern Virginia, and we grew the business from there. And over the years, the business has gone from being mainly based around leadership development programs through to the work that I do now, apart from one program, which actually kind of falls in team development or culture change, I should say. All my work is with teams. So the leadership development piece of work that I'm currently involved in is actually about supporting an organization through culture change. And the work that I've been involved with includes working with the senior teams, doing this leadership development program, but also consulting on and working with individuals in the organization to get a different culture embedded that supports their strategy going forward. Culture is one of these vague words that, for me, it's fundamentally about the values and the mindsets that you bring to bear. And we've talked a lot about mindsets on these programs. The values and the mindsets you bring to bear that either support or get in the way of what it is that you're trying to do. The values for me are particularly important because, again, I mean, we've talked in the past about, from my perspective, not just being ethical, but really approaching business from the right way of doing business. What's the right thing to do? As well as looking at the strategy for growth or returns or profit or a combination of all those, there is a way to do that that is, I think, has an underlying value, not just to the output of the organization, but to employees and communities as well, that from my perspective is very important. And so that's the kind of work that I'm doing with one large client at the moment. But the rest of the time, I'm spending working with teams, dealing with specific problems over periods of time, and doing some support coaching as part of that.
Tell us again the name of the company in terms of how you came up with that unique name for the company, the little story behind that, which I love.
We went from one typo to a misunderstanding in some ways. So the company in the UK was called Organization Resource, and organization in the UK is spelt with an S, not a Z. So when we came here and we called ourselves Organization Resource and we put it out in the heading, people would call us up and say, you know, we want to say this very politely, but did you know you've got a typo in your title? And we thought, you know, this isn't going to work for us. And then we looked at having the same name here, but with a Z in it. But we found a Californian company that had the same name. They were actually an organization, it was an engineering consultancy. So we thought, well, we can't do that. I mean, legally we could have done it, but it would be confusing. So we just decided to take the first two letters of Organization Resource and called ourselves OR Consulting. The confusion now, though, is that the logo has, and there's a story behind this too, that the logo has OR Consulting as one word, and people look at it and call us OR Consulting and say, why are you called OR Consulting? It's not, it's OR Consulting. The story behind why it's one word is that we this was now, I want to say, 12 plus years ago, employed a company to do branding with us here and in the UK. And they liked the idea that the words that they kept hearing from us was the way that we use observation and we use psychology. And they decided that the O could actually be a spyglass. So when you look at it in the logo, it looks like a spyglass, but it had to all be one word. So it was a bit of clever branding that kind of confuses people. So that's the story of
well, you could do a little marketing with it, and you could say you could go with those people or you could come with us.
Go with us. Exactly. Thank you.
Yes. There's always a way to work with it. And what I love, too, again, is the commitment that you have. You don't settle for status quo. You're always looking for ways to work with things and come up with unique strategies and different approaches. There's no hurdle too high. There's no wall you can't get over. What are some of the key practices of OR consulting, of the firm, and what is your favorite type of engagement that you like to take on?
So again, the practices have grown over time. When I joined the organization, the work we did was very firmly based in a psychological model called transaction analysis. And we also did some work around transition, which is the way that we approach change. So how do we go through change? And when we think about that, there's two parts to that. There's the external change that's happening, but there's the internal part, which is our reaction to it, which is transition. And we tended to do those two things. And we did a little tiny piece of neurology. Again, you know from the conversations we've had here, I'm extremely interested in neurology, always was. And for me, that was one of the key interesting things. And I've continued to learn about it over the years. I continue to read and study it. And it has, for me, a huge value in helping people to understand just how they physiologically, neurologically work. Because it explains why they do some of the things they do, but it also, once you understand how you work, how your brain is working, you actually can not just let it run you, not that it is different to you, because it is you. You actually become conscious of what you're doing, and you can manage it yourself. So that's one of the things that has grown over the years. The other thing again, I've talked about in the past is the idea of mindsets. And as I've said before, I kind of regret using the word mindset now because it's used so broadly. But when I started doing the work, it seemed like a good description for what is really, in truth, our perceptions of how the world works. And our perceptions of how the world works really dictates how we think about the world and how we show up in the world, and that can be helpful or not. So again, that's another practice, particularly thinking about what an integrator mindset looks like. And integrator is the word I put on it. It's a mindset that you see when we as humans reach our greatest potential, where we are able to integrate a lot of different ideas. We're curious about the world. We are empathetic to other people, and we tend to think critically, not critically in terms of criticism, but critically in terms of what we see in front of us. So we'll look for facts and we'll check the facts. We'll look for research. We'll look for understanding behind the facts. And that, again, has helped a lot of people I've worked with to really become much more successful in their organization, because suddenly it unblocks a whole way of doing things. So it unblocks the thought that as a leader, I have to be the person to make all the decisions, or I have to be the person that goes in there and manages other people, to how do I engage other people? How do we get curious about what we're doing? How do we start challenging ourselves to do better? How do we set our objectives that really push us to achieve something that maybe we couldn't have done before and certainly couldn't do on our own, because you need lots of people's ideas to come into play. And then there are other parts of psychology that I use quite a lot all the time, but those two tend to be the frameworks around which I hang the rest. A lot of psychology knits together. How I became interested in the mindsets was there is a person called Ken Wilber, who's a well-known philosopher/psychologist. He actually started life as a psychologist, but his work is much broader now. He publishes very widely. I was coached by one of his partners years ago and got interested in the work that he did. And he was one of the first people to start putting together the ideas and seeing that there were links, certainly in psychology, between all the psychological theories. They don't have to be discrete. They all inform each other. And for me, that was kind of like a really important not just insight, but it played to how I kind of felt about psychology over the years. And he's now gone much broader than that. I mean, he runs podcasts. I would encourage people, if they're interested in that kind of work, to look him up. It's spelt Ken, and then his surname is Wilbur, W-I-L-B-U-R. It's really interesting. So I bring that kind of thinking to bear on what I do from the psychological perspective. And then from the leadership, organization, management perspective, I will use quite a lot of the frameworks that are reasonably well known. And because I work over a long period of time with clients, and have specialized in certain industries, I have in-depth knowledge of certain industries, and I usually, when we get to this point with a client, understand their business very well. And one of the things that they say is that when I start to do strategy work with people, that the fact that I really truly understand how they see the organization and what their issues are really helps them to come to good conclusions around it. There is actually one other model which speaks to the integrated way of thinking and links directly to strategy that I use quite a lot. And it's actually an old model that McKinsey's developed years and years ago, back in the early 80s. Don't particularly use it in this way anymore, and I've kind of built on it a little bit in terms of how I think about it. It's called the 7S model, and it was one of those models, you call it 7S so people remember it. But what it really is saying is that if you are going to head forward strategically, you better realize how that links to everything else, and you better realize the basic values that underlie everything that you do in an organization. So what the S's stand for is strategy, structure, systems, the staff and the skills they have, the style in which they operate, in other words, the behaviors, and the shared values. And when you put that all into play, you have a very good integrated framework for thinking about your organization. You know, don't just pick strategy and work on strategy. Recognize that if you pick a strategy, it's going to have an impact on everything else. If you change strategic direction and you haven't thought about the values that your staff hold, what you do to them seems like it's going across their values, the likelihood of your strategy being successful is very limited. Think about how if you change your strategy, the structure that you have in an organization may not be helpful to that, and you're going to have to do some major organizational change and think about the systems that you have in place. And then think about the people that you've got, because the people that you have may or may not have the skills that you want, both hard and soft skills. Hard skills meaning, you know, all the technical kind of skills that you might need in an organization. The soft skills meaning how you operate in an organization. Think about how you might have to put in training programs or support to help people change. Because if you've been, for example, a very hierarchically structured organization, and you go to a much flatter organization so that you can be more agile, you better think about how it's going to be a little while, unless you do some clear intervention with your staff, for them to shift from understanding that they now have to think differently about how they work with their colleagues. that they're going to have to think much more for themselves. They're not going to have to just sit around and wait to be given instructions or directives up and down the line. They need to think differently. And a lot of the time, I find organizations don't actually think about all those links in an organization. McKinsey picked out, though, was that it was actually McKinsey and Harvard working together, that they found that organizations typically focus on the strategy and maybe think about the structure and systems, but only about 15% of organizations thought about the rest, and those were the organizations that successfully arrived at their strategy or their strategic objectives.
That's amazing. That's quite amazing too, that is the result. It's extraordinary work that you do, because again, as I mentioned, you really get in there and you come up with these strategies and approaches that are so unique. When you do that, Lindy, you and your team, how long do you typically work with clients, or does that really vary on the project, the company, the personalities involved? It's not necessarily a cookie cutter approach. It's customized for the needs of the individuals and the companies.
Yeah, absolutely. And it varies. The time scale varies tremendously. I mean, it depends what we're asked to do. In some places, it'll be, say, 6 months of coaching, and that's what they wanted, and that's what they can afford, and they're in a place where they just needed help to get over a certain bump. For some of the much larger organizations I work with, it's often years that I work with them, because they change all the time. And as I said earlier, one of the things that they value is the fact that I know them, and they see themselves get value from what I do. I mean, I think we talked about how I measure what I do over time. And there's three levels of measurement. The first level is the immediate reaction. You know, do they like what they've seen in the first place? So in a, say, a workshop, are people taking immediately some learning for themselves? The second thing is that on an individual basis, is there some traction happening? Are people seeing change for themselves? And then at the higher level, which is more difficult to draw direct links with, but it can be done, is there a link between the work we're doing and organization results? And over the years, I've focused actually much more on that. And the way that I track that is by linking the work and the actions that we come up with, say, for a team, directly to their results, so that we can actually link it. So, for example, there's a team that I'm working with at the moment that has taken on a site, and I've mentioned them before, where the site has had huge problems. And it's been a very aggressive environment. And one of the site general managers had found himself behaving in the way that we pull people's behavior out by behaving towards them. It's kind of codependency. And he'd found himself behaving as the site expected him to behave as a general manager. And then he got feedback that said, we really don't like this. Broader teams can get into sort of what in the terms of transactional analysis are games. We play games with each other, and the games always get the answer that we want. So that there's a game called the gotcha game. So I say I don't like this behavior, but then I behave in a way that pulls that behavior from you, and then I point out how you're behaving in the way that I thought you were going to behave anyway, and it's the gotcha game. Anyway, he found himself in a gotcha game, and we had a conversation around what he needed to do differently, which was listening, breathing when his team was sort of challenging, starting to coach them, listen to what they wanted in terms of team meeting and structure as opposed to micromanagement. That was, I want to say, 6 months ago when we had that discussion. We had a team meeting 2-3 weeks ago where his team in a bigger audience were saying how much he'd changed and what they were doing differently, and relating the different behavior to the direct results. The direct results being they've turned around both how the client is viewing themselves, but they've also turned around their success rate in terms of the work that they're doing. So that's the kind of measurement that I like. And I can't remember how I got onto that because you asked me a different question.
No, it's all part of it, and it's all linked. And yeah, the question was about how long you typically work with the clients, or does it vary?
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. So it varies. So there are some clients. Actually, that team I'm talking about is in a client group. I mean, it's a huge company. It's billions and billions of dollars big, but it's a company that I've worked for 20 years. Individually with the teams in that company, I might work 6 months, I might work a year, I might work 3 years, but with the company as a whole, I've been working with them for over 20 years.
That's
so
amazing.
At one end, it's 6 months. At the other end, it's 20 years. And it depends on what the client needs. You know, I'm not going to just stick around for the sake of it. If we get to the end of an assignment where it's clear that you've got to where you want to get, I'm not going to stick around. How that works really well for me is that sometimes months, sometimes years, literally years later, I'll get a call or an email from somebody saying, hey, are you still doing this work? Because I've just moved to a new place and I'd really like to talk to you.
So word of mouth spreads beautifully too through your expertise, which I think is wonderful. Is it true you have a problem saying no to an intriguing new challenge too?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, if there's an intriguing new challenge, I'll find a way to deal with it.
Yeah,
I mean that's the work that excites me. It's got to be challenging work. I couldn't just do cookie cutter work. For example, there are psychology consultancies around that do just assessments, and that's interesting at a level, but it would drive me insane.
Right, exactly. So when you take a look at all of the work, what brings you the greatest joy, Lindy, in this extraordinary work that you do?
So you've just heard part of it. The other part is seeing the results. And sometimes the most pleasing results for me, or the things that I get most personally out of, are when people get work personally out. They get results personally as well as for their work out of what we've been doing. So a lot of the work that I do, particularly in the early stages of teamwork, where we're looking at understanding ourselves and understanding how groups work together, people take home and think about their families. And often people realize that it's there that they can have a greater impact to begin with. You know, the people be sitting in a workshop and go, I've just had an insight into how bad I am with my teenagers. I need to rethink that. And will come back to me and say that made a huge difference. People will go off and do very different things after we've done this kind of work, because they get an insight into themselves and get an insight into how they're impacting other people. And that for me is really important. I mean, it speaks to individuals' psychological well-being much greater than just the workplace. But the workplace clearly benefits if you've got people who are managing their health much more effectively.
That's very important. Absolutely. That is essential. All of these things that you're telling us and describing for us, Lindy, are essentials when it comes to being successful, but also being balanced and being productive and being satisfied in one's work and growing and being collaborative and being imaginative and creative and forward thinking, as well as being flexible and adaptable and embracing change, working through change, and also being resilient, right? All of these things are a result of these kinds of efforts.
I mean, it's interesting you use the word resilience. It's something that, again, I work with people a lot on, because building that resilience comes through the things that you've just summarized there. Resilience doesn't come about by us denying that there are challenges and trying to ignore them. It comes about by us understanding what challenges us and then managing our lives so we stay psychologically healthy so that we can face some of these big challenges, whether it's in the workplace or outside the workplace.
Exactly. What would you like to say to folks listening right now who maybe they're going through some challenges or some struggles right now, and they could really use the support and the expertise of you and your team at OR Consulting? What would you say to somebody right now in terms of some of the wonderful things that you can sort of collaborate with them on to help them get unstuck and move forward?
So the things that we do are the things that we've just talked about. I mean, if people are interested in what we do and are listening to this and thinking, I could do with talking about myself and what I'm facing, then, you know, get in touch with us. You have been so gracious in giving out the website address, when you get on the website, it gives you phone numbers as well. It's www.orconsulting.us.com. And if you get in touch with us, then we can talk about that and start to look at what would make sense for you. Because in reply to your question, Jim, there's no one thing that I could say, this is going to work for you. It's very much a let's hear what the issues are and then let's think about what makes most sense in terms of how we can best support and help you. Because it's about you and your issues. It's not about us bringing that's kind of an expert solution because we happen to have it on a shelf. It's us being really interested in what your challenges are and helping you to work through those. We don't give you the solutions. We support you with frameworks and thoughts that help you to get to your own solution. That's the most effective thing
that
we can do, any human being.
I exactly right. I concur. It's the ultimate type of coaching and consulting and mentorship is when you give people the wherewithal to see within themselves the ways to create those solutions. You give them some of the resources, the tools, maybe some of that support, even emotional support sometimes, that they can then absorb in their own life. And that's one of the things I love about your work is because you are a psychologist and you have that psychological component, which makes it unique. You can come at it from a humanistic side and approach and incorporate that into the structure of all the other work that you do at OR Consulting. And I think that is a cut above others out there that do this kind of work because of that understanding of the human condition, which is an essential part of anything in life. I do encourage folks to go to the website, orconsulting.us.com, to learn more about the extraordinary work that this management consulting firm does. And the headquarters is in Northern Virginia. However, they work with clients all over the country and beyond. And Lindy Brewster heads it up, and she and her team are experts and extraordinary. And again, they empower you to be able to find the answers yourself, because Lindy and her team can't always be in the room with you all the time. So that way you can call upon some of the things that Lindy and her team have imparted with you, which is really what it's all about. Right, Lindy?
Right. Thank you very much for saying that. And, you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, Jim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You take care now. It's a pleasure chatting with you as well, and an honor, Lindy. And thanks for everything that you have shared with us thus far. We look forward to chatting with you again real soon. And again, I do encourage the audience, no matter where you are worldwide, go to the website, orconsulting.us.com, to learn more about everything we've talked about and much, much more. This is Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time. And we appreciate you being with us all around the world here on Close Up Radio. And stay tuned. More great episodes of our broadcast series coming up in just a moment right here. Till then, for all of us, thanks for being with us. You have a terrific day and a phenomenal weekend. Bye for now.